That's an ordination hymn, usually reserved for celebrating the ordination or installation of a pastor, but I changed the words so that we'd see that God calls on all of us to be his servants, calls on all of us to share his word in many ways. And I like those the last two lines of the second stanza: our hearts aflame, our lips made eloquent, our eyes awake to every human need. That God would open our eyes, that God would open our mouths with words we didn't realize we might have, and that he would give us hearts of flame for the gospel and for the people around us. And that makes sense with today and the story I want to share with you as well. I feel farther away from you than normal, so I'll step out on the bridge. All right, that'll work, I think. I didn't make this, so hopefully it's steady. But I have a story I wanted to share with you today. And it's a story about Candace. And she gave me permission to share this story. Some of you know Candace already. Candace called me Monday. And some of us around Bethel have known Candace since she worked at ESSE, the adult day services that used to be here at Bethel. Recently, though, we've become reacquainted with her as she had a baby and received one of the baby shower ministries that we do through Love, Inc. But Candace has been facing some uphill battles and some pitfalls, and she and her three young children have been struggling. So she called me on Monday asking if I could talk because she was feeling pretty hopeless. When I got to her house, I saw a woman gathering sticks, so to speak. Gathering sticks, kind of like the widow at Zarephath that Elijah sees. Candace seemed to be gathering sticks. She was feeling like she was at the end of her rope, end of the line, had reached too many dead ends, like it might just be better to give up. I was already studying this week's Bible story, so the image of that widow of Zarephath gathering sticks to bake a last meal for her son and herself, that was on my mind as I listened to Candace. But unlike Elijah, I had no word from the Lord. God didn't direct me to say, Candace, make some bread and the flour and oil won't run out. I didn't have a word like that. God did give Candace a word. She did point to some ways that God was at work, was giving them some help in the midst of this. And I affirm that that indeed sounded like God at work. But here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that unlike Elijah, the Lord didn't seem to be giving me a word, a direct instruction about a miracle that he would perform right there and then. So Candace and I talked about some options, how Bethel might support her in taking those steps, and then I prayed and left. But by the time I drove back, it seems that the Lord was working his word in my heart. I had no word about miracles to give to Candace, but the Lord had prompted me to go see her. Despite the fact that it was a very busy day, really not the kind of day that you add an appointment to. And the Lord helped me in those moments, talking to Candace, helped me to focus on offering her support and grace rather than just trying to solve her problems. And I trust that it was the Lord who gave me the sense that he wasn't leading me immediately to say that we'd help financially and just swoop in and try to solve the problem. We've done that previously, but the Lord seemed to be saying, wait. You know, when I got back, the Lord did give me this word, which I texted to Candace. I am praying for God's leading. I want to respect you and not rush in to solve your problems. But I am also struck with compassion for you and your children and the situation you face. They cannot right now offer more financial help from the congregation, but you weren't even asking. You just asked to talk. You asked for support. And I can advocate with you for with your landlords or agencies, whatever would be helpful. If it comes to being evicted from your house, we will rally a number of people to come and collect your belongings to keep them safe. And we'll look for a couple of women who can mentor you and walk with you through the next few weeks. You see, Candace was gathering sticks, and in some ways, she's still gathering sticks, wondering if she's reached another end of the rope. But to God's credit, to God's glory, she keeps telling me that she sees God's hand in this, sees how he's remaining by her side and watching over her children. And Candace and her kids came to worship on Thursday. Candace and her boys gave me permission to share that story. And we have found another way to help her financially, but what's more important is that she sees that we are walking with her. This is a long-term thing. We see her and her kids as children of God, and that we have come to praise God with her for the ways in which he brings us together. With that in mind, let's turn back to Elijah. And think, like, how did Elijah find himself there at Zarephath with this widow who was at the end of her rope, who was gathering sticks? How did he find himself there? It's because King Ahab, the king of Israel, the northern kingdom, which we will know as Samaria during the times of Jesus, they were already a nation that was turning away from the ways of God. And then King Ahab marries Jezebel. She's from the land of Sidon, the land of Baal, her god, but a false god, a god that you hope to get his attention, hope that maybe he will work something out for you, but most of the time you weren't so sure. Well, Ahab gets married. He pours his life into the worship of Baal. And so God sends Elijah to say to him, Ahab, there's going to be drought until I say. And then God gets Elijah out of there. I assume it's because Ahab was not too happy. And so God says, Elijah, get to the brook Cherith. And so he gets to the brook Cherith, and it's like a mini time of the Exodus that we just talked about last week, when God provided manna and quail for the people of Israel while they wandered. Well, here God, for his prophet, provides water and then ravens to bring him bread and meat morning and night. But eventually the brook dries up, and so God says, go to Zarephath. Go to this widow. And she's been instructed to take care of you. What we might miss here, though, is that Zarephath is in the land of Sidon. It's Jezebel's homeland. It's Baal's land. So here's Elijah. He's been hidden by God in this brook, keeping him safe from King Ahab and Jezebel's anger. And then God says, why don't you go over here? I can't imagine being Elijah thinking, why are you sending me there? To the land of Baal, to the land of Jezebel. And Baal is a god of fertility and food and rain. But when he gets there, it's a drought there as well, and this widow has very little left. It seems Baal had gone silent. Elijah had spoke the word from the Lord to Ahab, and nothing seems to be stopping Yahweh's drought. The widow, though, what she would have known is that Baal is the god of her land. Baal is the one that she's supposed to be appealing to. And then this stranger appears, an Israelite, not from these parts, from Judah, someone who worships some other god. How could it be that this interloper can bring his god's power with him? So she's a little confused, and she's not so sure, and she calls God your God to Elijah. Did you notice that? The Lord your God, right? But then she's starting to believe that Elijah is sent from God, especially as the flour and oil don't run out. But then her son dies. And she says, aha, I knew it. I knew it, Elijah. God sent you to punish me for my sins. By you coming here, Elijah, you got God's attention and he started to remember my sins, and it was only to bring death. She says, what have you against me, O man of God? You have come to cause my son to die. And Elijah takes the son to his own room, and he's outwardly calm until he gets up in the room. And then he's got the same complaint to God, the same worry. He says, oh, Yahweh, my God, have you brought me here just so that this widow's son would die? For the widow, this would make sense. She can easily believe that Elijah, in this God that she doesn't truly understand, that Elijah would come with this God's power and bring about death. That anybody could believe, because anybody can kill, and there's nothing difficult about that, and the widow knows a lot about death, having been ready to die when she was gathering those sticks on the edge of starvation. But the truth that God's power would bring life, the promise of life in the words of God through the prophet Elijah, that's much more difficult to believe. It flies in the face of all that we know about the world, where death always seems to have the last word. Yet here comes this man of God. He comes down from the room, he's carrying the child, and he says, your son lives. And the widow says, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of Yahweh is in your mouth. Going back to Candace, she's very brave and gracious to let me share her story with you. And thinking about Elijah and the widow, my prayer for Candace isn't just that we can be helpful friends walking with her through this, but that she and we can praise God who can bring life even as much as we face death and brokenness in this world. My prayer for all of us is that we'd be able to see the ways God brings life. The widow's doubt, Elijah's doubt, that may also be our doubt, because it's easy to believe in death-dealing powers. For that is what we witness in the world every day. It is much more difficult to imagine that love and God's love conquers death. There's plenty of ways we may feel like we're just gathering sticks, preparing to die, giving up hope. But we also know that through the power of God, the Son lives. And of course, I'm not just talking about the son of the widow in Zarephath. I mean, the Son lives. Jesus Christ lives. And because of Jesus Christ rising again, it's life conquering death once and for all. We were gathering sticks, figuring we were headed for death because of our sins, God bringing us to this dead end. But God intends to use his power to bring life. Eternal life. And he brings life to you in the midst of your sin and brokenness. He promises you life after death through Jesus, the cross, and his resurrection. You know, the widow lived in the land of Sidon, the land of Baal, a place where she had to hope that Baal would wake up and feel like helping. We've got this word of life from Jesus, yet in many ways we find ourselves living in a land of Sidon, a place where other gods claim territory. Those gods set values. They promise power but leave us empty. And when we're at the end of our rope, we've got to hope that luck will be a lady tonight, our stars will be aligned, or the wood we knock on is real wood. But mostly, it's just easy to believe that any calamity and suffering will be coming to us because of our sin and crush us. and lead us to death. That's much more easy to believe. It's much more difficult to believe that Jesus has brought life through faith in him. In fact, it's impossible to believe this without God's intervention, just as it was impossible for the boy to live if God hadn't brought life back to him. So you also cannot believe unless God brings faith into you through the Holy Spirit, through hearing his word. He's stirring up faith in you. And here's an image for that. Elijah stretched himself out three times over the boy. And I kind of thought, well, what does that mean? It's kind of like enacting what he is asking God to do, for God to reach out and bring life. And then I remembered that we've been going back to a passage in Exodus chapter 6 where God said, I will, with an outstretched arm, I will redeem you. And so there's that stretching idea. But then it's also, he does it three times. And the life enters the boy through God's power. And then I thought of how you have all been. God has stretched out his power over you three times. In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in baptism, washing you, renewing you, giving you life. So that when we find ourselves gathering sticks, or when we find others gathering sticks, may we also be watching for how God may bring life. It may not look like much at first. I mean, after all, the widow didn't really know, was that jar of flour and oil gonna stay full? She just kept making it. There was day after day, is this really gonna work? And for us, sometimes it's really hard to see where is God bringing life in the midst of all this brokenness. But God does bring life. So when we are gathering sticks, may God grant us faith and the eyes to see how he is bringing life. And may we remember how he has brought life to us and promises it to others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.